But I believe God wants us to understand and embrace both sides, to know that we have a sovereign God who is unshakable, whose power and authority is supreme and absolute, who is able to do all things and work all things according to the counsel of His own will. And we also serve a dynamic, living, powerful God who wants to use us to demonstrate His victory over all the forces of hell. And He wants us to rise up at times and demonstrate that. Other times He wants us to just wait on the Lord. We need both. We need both. And I want to further submit to you that that is exactly what we see happening to Paul in the life of Paul in the book of Acts. You knew I was going to get there eventually. You're probably sitting there thinking, what? I thought you were going to wrap up. You're not done? You're just starting? Are you crazy? I'm hungry. I'm tired. That's exactly what we see happening to Paul in the book of Acts. Let me explain. Yeah, no, not enough time. I'll sum up. Oh, my goodness. What's that? Yeah. So, praise God. John's listening. Last week, we were saying, Paul had these friends in Caesarea begging him, don't go to Jerusalem. You'll die. It's terrible. They're going to beat you and arrest you and bind you and chain you and take you away. But we showed last week that Paul went anyway, and when he did, yes, the Jews did arrest him, or the Romans did. The Jews did, you know, grab him, beat him up, start to riot in the streets. The Romans had to arrest him to save his life, took him away. But God sovereignly used that, because when it came time for Paul to go to trial and travel on what is sometimes called his fourth missionary journey, he had the resources of the Roman Empire at his disposal, where instead of traveling alone in danger and with want and exposure and lack of food and lack of shelter, God supplied 400 Roman soldiers, over 400 Roman soldiers, 70 horsemen, to escort Paul personally to his destination at the expense of the Roman Empire. Gave him food, gave him provision, gave him protection, gave him shelter. So what seemed to be a disastrous thing, God turned out to be something very good. And we left it at that point last week. But guess what? It got even better than that. Oh, by the way, I think we also mentioned that when Paul arrived at the place where he was going to be put on trial, do you remember what city that was in? Anybody? Bueller? Who said that? Caesarea, exactly. Guess where his friends were that he left behind? Caesarea. They were like, Paul, don't go, don't go, you're going to die. Guess where the Romans brought him back to? Caesarea. In fact, he spent 2 years there with the full liberty of the Roman commander to say, hey, let your buddies come and go as they please. We'll feed you. We will clothe you. We will put you in Herod's palace, Herod's praetorium. They even got to stay in a luxury hotel reserved for King Herod. And while his friends were free to come and go, they probably saw more of Paul under arrest than they would have if he had never left. But wait, there's more. Not only that, but while he was there, he got to share the gospel with the governor, Governor Felix. As part of his testimony. The governor was the one that heard his case. He went up. He was on trial. He gave his testimony. And so he shared the gospel with the governor. How many people here would love the opportunity to share the gospel with the governor? Anybody? Wow. Maybe that dude gets saved or something. Yeah, I can hear Tom now, buddy. You better listen. You better repent, because, buddy, you're going to hell. Sins are stacked upon your account. You need to get right with God. You either repent or you're going to meet God. I'll make sure of it. I can see Tom now. So much for house arrest. Praise God. So he gets to share the gospel with the governor, Felix. Now, if that's not enough, wait. There's more. So Paul shares the gospel with Felix. Of course, Felix thinks about it, but he didn't take it. And he's sitting around hoping that Paul would bribe him to set him free. Of course, Paul wasn't about to do that. So Felix is waiting around for how many years? 2 years waiting to make a decision. The whole time Paul is, you know, partying with his buddies and spreading the gospel, building up the church there in Caesarea. Finally, he waits so long that his term runs out and a new governor's brought in. Guy named Governor Festus. And guess what? Not only does Paul get to witness to Governor Felix, now he gets to witness to who? Festus. So he gets to witness to two governors. How many people would like to not only share the gospel with this governor, but whoever's going to take his place? Cool stuff. But wait, there's more. Not only does he get to share the gospel with Governor Felix, not only does he get to share the gospel with Governor Festus, but it just so happens. Gee, what a coincidence. It just so happens that on the day that Paul is supposed to go before Governor Festus and share his testimony, who should show up in town but King Herod Agrippa? And King Herod comes and visits his newly appointed governor, says, "Hey, buddy, how's it going?" Yeah. He says, "Pretty good. I'm about to, you know, try this prisoner, Paul, who's out there talking about this Jesus guy." And King is like, "Okay, well, man, that sounds interesting. I think I'll sit in on it too." So he not only gets to witness to the first governor, he not only gets to witness to the second governor, now he's sharing the gospel with the king. I'm losing my voice. Man. But wait, there's more. Not only does he share it with the first governor, not only does he share it with the second governor, not only does he share it with King Agrippa, history tells us, this is outside the scope of the book of Acts, history tells us that when they sent him out, because during that whole process he appealed to Caesar, he didn't want to be set free and turned back to the Jews so they could kill him. He appeals to Caesar, not only witnesses the first governor, second governor, and the king, they send him to Rome, and he gets to witness to Caesar, literally Emperor Nero. Paul stands not only before the governor, the second governor, King Herod Agrippa, but history tells us he even got to stand and witness to the most powerful man on the entire planet at that time. Say that, yes, yes.
Say that again.
Yeah. How many people here would like to witness and share the gospel with the most powerful man on planet Earth at this time? And only the gospel. Jesus died to save you, brother, and to give you an inheritance in heaven. And by the way, what the heck are you doing with this bill over here? I mean, I don't get this. Okay, just the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. Man, that blows my mind. Here his friends are saying, "Paul, don't go. You'll get hurt." Since when was that an issue? "Don't go. It'll be rough. You get hurt. They might arrest you." And God says, "Paul, I'm not only going to send you, I'm not only going to give you almost 500 Roman soldiers for your protection, I'm going to let you testify before kings and rulers and the most powerful people alive." How's that for influence? Paul could not have set that up in a million years on his own. Now, my question to you is this. Was that an example of providence or kingdom? Yes. Oh, shucks. I really thought you would say providence. Okay. I think that's the providence of God. What originally looked like a disaster that Paul was walking into, God used for his amazing, incredible purposes. Now, before you get too comfortable on that, oh gosh, I need to speed up. A funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Paul's going to Rome. Yeah, some of us old folks remember that movie. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum, man. He leaves Caesarea. He gets in a boat, got the Roman commander with him, the centurion. They're sailing to Rome. Man, life is good. God not only delivered me out of that riot in Jerusalem, I've testified before all these people. I'm going to Rome. I'm going to see the king, the emperor. Man, God is good. Life is good. And suddenly, the weather turns bad. Not only goes bad, it goes horribly bad. I mean, the perfect storm. I mean, just, you know, hurricane-like gale force winds and waves. And they're having a hard time. Paul says, you know, says to the commander, I get a feeling, man, if we don't dock this boat, I think God is telling me we're going to lose the ship, we're going to lose the cargo, and we're all going to die. That's how bad it was. Does the commander listen to him? Heck no. What does he care? He's like, we're going anyway. So they go out, and it goes from bad to worse. And literally, after 2 weeks, they haven't even eaten. The thing is being beat to death. They're all basically starting to think, Paul, you were right. We're all going to die. And Paul says, hey, buddy, don't worry. I had a vision last night. God sent an angel, man. He says, yeah, we're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the cargo, but we're going to live. So right about that time, they see some land. They're like, man, land, aho, ahoy, ho, 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 land. There's land over there. So they head for the land. I don't know. Land ahoy. Something, thank you. Chips ahoy. So I haven't eaten in 14 days, man. Where are those chips? So they head for land. And there's this place where two seas are coming together. That's always bad news. And they get in there and it starts rocking the boat back and forth. They run the boat aground, buries the front end of the boat in the ground. The waves in the back start busting up the boat, tearing it from plank to plank, just beating it to shreds. And they jump out of the boat and they swim to shore. Wow. And they wound up on this island called Malta. They barely escape with their life. You know the old scene where they're crawling out of the water onto the beach, like in The Incredibles? Something like that. And here's what happened, Acts 28. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now let me pause there for a second. Don't you hate when that happens? I mean, you know, talk about having a bad week. Gone without food for 14 days. You see land, so you go in there. You run the ship aground. You have to leap for your life because the waves are busting the ship to smithereens. You swim ashore. You barely escape with your life. They finally fix a fire so you can get a little warm. And when you throw some wood on the fire, a snake jumps out and bites you. Yes. How many people at that point would have their faith just a little bit shaken? You know, I don't get it, God. What's up? What's all this stuff happening? I don't get it. I thought you loved me. This is not good. I am not feeling happy. This is bad. Have I sinned against you? Is there something wrong that I'm not seeing here? I know that you were sending me to Rome. Everything inside me testified to that. But I can't get to Rome without a boat, and the boat is busted up. And now I got this deadly snake hanging on my hand. Hold that thought. Ah! snow. Bad day. Thank God it wasn't a spider.